wait, wait, wait. And the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just, by your Spirit and by your truth, bring forth the words you want spoken, the direction you want to go, and enlarge what you'd like to enlarge. I pray, Lord, that you are, I do receive the prophetic word. I know it's true that you are looking to disengage us from the lies that have been sown into us through circumstances, through words, and through experience, and that which has impinged us into conflict, left us emotionally shut down or dysfunctional or reactionary, and all the things that you really are just intentionally going after. And so, Lord, we just say yes. We welcome that. We don't want to hold on to things that you might be moving away from us. So grant us the grace to just release and let go and forget and forgive and go on. I mean, a glorious release. I mean, just the kind that's just ridiculous release. We're just like the Samaritan woman, where one day we go to the watering hole at an odd time because we're just so covered with shame over our life's experience. And then we meet the one who told us everything we did, and now we go around brag, telling everybody what he told us that we did so they get saved. Man, I want that kind of freedom. Yes. Release it, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. School of the Evangelist. Larry Bingman's going to do that in March. That's one thing we're not mentioning. So usually the evangelist is the biggest mouth in the house. But this time Larry's just gone low and decided let the Lord pull that school forward. If you feel the calling of the evangelist, we're going to do that on Thursday night, something like that. It's all in the back. It's on the web. Okay, so here we go. Cloud of witnesses, visibly accessible, recognizable. They're a part of us. They're cheering us on. We're in a race. It's set before us. We look at Jesus. He's the author and finisher, captain. That's what the word author means, captain of our salvation, champion. And the finisher is completer. It's the completion. He's of our faith. And it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of God. That's the definition of the overcomer according to Revelations 3. Jesus said, if you overcome, you will sit with me on my throne as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Overcoming is equal to enduring. To endure the cross is to overcome. We talked about the cross. We'll talk a little more on that. But Jesus did not have a joy that was set before him when he resurrected or when the ascension came or when the millennium came or the marriage day of the church. It wasn't the glory. It wasn't the joy. The joy was the present fellowship, experiential enjoyment of God every moment that he walked on planet Earth. Because of that joy, he could endure the cross. Because of that joy, he could despise, disesteem, make less of the shame that was seeking from like with that prophetic word, trying to put it on him. He could just say, no, that's not going there. The race set before us is a present race we're in, right? So the joy set before him, it's the same Greek word, set before, is the present joy he began to appreciate. That's all that we've been learning, to live from a present fellowshipping experience with God in the Holy of Holies, in the righteousness, peace, and joy. You understand that, right? You're good. When you go to pray, you go and you go, okay, it's not even working until I'm in righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy is that fast if I recognize that all barriers have been removed. Once you get your head straight and you're back, yeah, and all of a sudden flood of life flows into your being because you're in the presence. In the presence, it's easy to believe. You've got to remember that. If it's hard to believe, get in his presence, because in his presence, that's where Abraham learned, in the presence of him whom he believed. You learn it's easy to believe in his presence because God believes everything he says he can do. And he did, and it's done, and it's complete, and furthermore, I changed your name. Ha ha. You know, he's just ridiculous. Holy Spirit is the carrier of this ridiculous attitude of optimism that never goes away. You find yourself in the worst moment of your time, and he goes, whoa, yeah, let's go. And you're going, what book are you reading? I'm reading the one written about you in heaven, through the Redeemer, through the Creator. Oh, so anyway, Jesus lived in this place, and he could endure the cross, he could despise the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Then we are to consider him because he had to endure the hostility of sinners. That's the cross of conflict, of willfulness that resists sovereignty. And we jumped over to 1 Peter, and then we're going to keep moving as we closed. And I told you, oh, you don't come to next week because I knew where this would take me. But he intersected. He was kind to you. He intersected with Philippians. So God likes you. We're not going straight to the point. But here, listen to this word. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. Chapter 2, verse 18. Not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults? You take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. The word commendable is the word for grace. It's translated more often the word grace. It's the same word we see, the grace, abundance of grace, the gift of, you know, saved by grace. So when I, for conscience toward God, therefore I've started a journey that God has called me on, now I'm going to come into a conflict, and I endure the grief, I yield to my will, then that releases grace into the earth, grace upon my life, grace in all ways. Then he goes and he points us to Jesus. And again, this is just, you know, quickly review. For this you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. So he kept yielding instead of asserting. Then he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So this, you're familiar with that, all of us like sheep going astray? Let me just show you that in Isaiah 53. Then we'll stop at Mark and we'll close in Philippians. Jesus, this example, and this is where I know we're going to go to some places that are going to get us in a lot of trouble, and I don't want you to hear this. Seriously, it'll wreck. But nevertheless, Lord is really a little more of a foundation because this is fruit of the Champion Conference, because we're not fleshly, flagrant, oh look at me, whoopee peacocks with feathers. This is the Lamb Slaughter Brigade. The ones who disesteem themselves, have no confidence in the flesh that's coming, gathering, being called together because God wants to shift mindsets and disengage the forces of hell that are still illegally holding residence over peoples and groups and communities because of mindsets, because we see things outside of the kingdom's dynamic. So this is a big thing. There's a lot of warfare. That's why a lot of stuff's going over you. Listen to this one word, and this was again Elijah. We talked about this. Verse 6, chapter 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Eddie Anabakari is putting together a series of CDs that I taught last year, about 3 weeks. It's all I could teach him on iniquity, the I will of man. I can't ever teach very long on that because the will of man rises up so strong afterwards I've shut down. But basically, here is the center of the cross conflict for Jesus, for our salvation, and for our everyday life picking up the cross. And it basically is this, that All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. My way is the I will of me. And it's flowing out of my wounded soul, connected to the world I'm involved in, and it's strong. And the yielded will is the greatest thing you will gain in your journey besides turning into a sweet lover. Be sweet and loving and totally yielded. That's your school you're in. The whole kingdom is about yielding, not achieving, not doing, and not being. It's yielding. Wow. You come, wow. It's just yielding. And every yield is like a woman in the marriage yields to a seed of promise. The promise begins to set into your being the DNA of God that causes you to yield even further and causes you then to have to face issues that, through a yielded posture, I'm being reviled. Oh, I want to revile back. No, love covers. Oh, if one more thing happens to me, I'm gonna do this. No. Keep trusting yourself to him. Keep giving yourself back to him. So now let me show you something really cool. Go with me to Mark. This is the happy this is like happy thoughts first. happy thoughts. Everybody here in this room probably have had this happen to you. You might have been very young. You might have been just recently happened, but you probably had this happen to you. Cammie and I had a six-hour prayer watch that we prayed for the generations for a couple, 3 years, and we would ponder on this little event. It says in verse 16, and he walked by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. Then they immediately left their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. So this was the thing we would do after, 6 hours of praying. You have a lot of time to kind of think about things in a broader state, and we would ask the Lord before him, we say, what was in your voice? What was it that you said that could so disengage entrepreneurs, in Peter's case, a married husband, probably kids, disengage. Just what was it that you, when you said, come follow me, what was it that so captured them that they just left everything and followed you? Now, when you read the Synoptic Gospels, you see that Peter, they were aware of Jesus' ministry. They'd been to some of his meetings. They might have even seen some of his miracles. This calling to leave all had a little history, but not a lot. Certainly not even a year, maybe a few months of the man of Galilee, the one from Nazareth. There was an awareness. There was a connection. There was a familiarity. There was an aware, well, this is something. But all of a sudden, the day came. Come, follow me. I'll make you become. Now here's the genius of God, and this is why you can't get out of it once you get in it. Everything in the kingdom begins with an invitation or a calling, answered with a decision. The decision initiates a journey into eternity, and the eternity is a long time. But once you say yes, you're in. Next day you wake up. Reconsider, too late. You're in. You say, well, I'm not going to go to school anyway. Well, doesn't matter. You're in. It all begins with a journey, by a decision. A decision with a promise. Come follow me, I will make you become. Wow. Something captures your imagination. I don't think it was just a bad fishing day. Because in Luke's account, Peter's calling out into ministry was much more dramatic because he had allowed Jesus to use his boat as a vehicle to keep him away enough distance from the crowds to Jesus. He was a little far out into the sea. He did his message, and then he said to Peter and them, this fishing crew company, go put your boat out and cast out your net for a catch. And they're going, well, we value what's going on here. It's strong, but I don't know that you know about fishing, but nevertheless, because you're saying so, we'll do it. And we don't know that he was like, we use that all the time, be it done to me, or whatever you say. He probably was humoring Jesus. Nice, be nice to the rabbi. It's like how you people treat me when I'm surfing. Oh, here's the preacher, let him have the wave. They know me out there. I go, fine, thank you, God bless you. You gotta take advantage of that. I just think that we gotta read these stories like they're real, not like that we think they were. They're not like those movies they made. So the boat's filled with fish, they're sinking, and now this goodness is overwhelmed Peter, and all he can say is, get away from me, I'm a sinful man, depart from me. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you're gonna catch men. You see, every encounter is always with an honest point of real and connection, and then with a promise that's taking you somewhere into the future. And that's the beauty of Jesus. That's why when you get in the Holy Spirit, next thing you know, he's just talking about all kinds of stuff. And it's because it's the way God communicates his DNA, because it's the promises that communicate the nature. They're seeds. And once the seed is in you, the nature of God begins to overtake you. And like Mary, it will put a sword through your soul, and it'll cause a falling and rising of many around you, and it'll take you places you didn't want to go, and it'll require you to nurture it in the beginning, yield to it in the end. A promise you carry until it takes over your life, then you yield to it, and it has its say, and you now lost your life. So this is this glorious thing. But here's the cool thing. They left all. Immediately they forsook. You know what that word means? Forgive. They started the journey with Jesus, which is a daily journey of forgiveness. Letting go of what it is that ever was holding you. Now here's the thing I want you to ponder. Flip over with me to Philippians chapter 3. I'm sorry, I'm having fun. It's the part of Holy Spirit. He's so good. It's a joy set before me. Every voice, every time, every moment I encounter my Lord speaking, or Holy Spirit reminding, or Father decreeing, every experience of God beckons me to come further in, calls me from where I was. And I have now 38-year history of walking, and I have seasons that can take up to some years where I stop responding to the calling to forsake everything to this point and go on again. The problem in the kingdom is you don't get to take yesterday with you. Nor would you really want to. But we teach, we convoluted the gospel in a fashion that we make it appear that it's about achieving certain places and experiences that until they are achieved. We think the promise that God made was so that we could have something he promised us. No, it was so he could get you and transfer his nature into you and then complete everything he said, but then it doesn't matter. So Paul is saying this, chapter 3. We're in this chapter 2 and chapter 3 all week, in all our prayer meetings, all our prayer times over Champions. These are the two chapters. Just, and so I'm going to, Paul says this. He says, we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, chapter 3, verse 3, who rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. Okay? Though I might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, not the seventh, not the ninth, the eighth day, the prescribed day. Of the stock of Israel, not a Gentile. Of the tribe of Benjamin, one of Gedaddy's favorites. A Hebrew, of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So Paul is presenting this. Some believe this would be his last, one of his last letters he wrote. He's thanking them for a gift, and he's encouraging them in the journey, and he's now defining something that, which is his response to the revelation that he tells in chapter 2 about Jesus' pattern. And basically, he's saying, I carried into my faith things that were gain that I had to lose. In fact, I've had to lose everything to gain Christ, because I cannot know him from the position of the natural man. I have to know him by the Spirit. And what that requires is an identification with Jesus and a journey with him, which is going to be both suffering and power, death and resurrection. And to keep myself engaged in the journey, I've had to determine that everything that I've lost is dung. It's rubbish. It's of no consequence. It's of no value. In effect, the beauty of what heaven is beckoning you and me, if you'd be daring enough to do so, is to leave yesterday and run into tomorrow. Just to leave it. It's as clear to me as my name. There's a lot of things that are still need to be resolved in yesterday. Just leave them. There's a lot of things that you'd like to have fixed. Leave it. Just because you can't bring tomorrow, yesterday into tomorrow. All you bring is yesterday into today. You don't go into tomorrow. Tomorrow is denied to those who live in yesterday. Just think about that. To wake up. Hi, Dan. It's a new day. Where are we going today? How do you feel today? I want to be with you today. You are the best dad in the universe. Yeah, but you know, to do that, you got to leap over those soulish emotions. Oh. I don't think I can do this anymore. God is so difficult to trust. You just got to leap over it. I have never yet leaped over my current state of my dying, decaying soul on the cross. And God looked at me and said, what are you doing here? What are you doing in my presence, rejoicing in my joy, enveloped in my love, full of my peace, celebrating my victory? What are you doing here? Don't you know you've got issues? Seriously, he's never told me, get back home and fix that stuff. Any more than when we tell somebody, you can't get your life together before you get saved. Just get saved. What's every day? Just get saved. Every day, yesterday is gone, forgotten, has no place, is not to be a part of you. But our materialistic gospel that associates our place in God by the materialistic position of life in our journey, or what the Bible would call the pride of life, what we can show of ourselves in our journey. Look at this, look at that, look at this, look at that. That is the fruit of righteousness by the law. The law will make you do really well, the rich young ruler. But it doesn't open the door for you to know God apart from the works of law and a righteousness that's imputed by faith. That's a dreamer, that's a receiver, that's a listener, that's a voice-led believer. And enamored. See, that's how Abraham got to the point where he could come home one day and say, hey, honey, Sarah, what do you think about the name Sarah? What do you think, honey? Sarah, it's kind of, right? How about, would you be okay if I went for the Abraham? Why? Well, I just heard it on one of my walks. It's okay, come on. Sure. See, when you're with God, you're not convincing anybody. You ask permission from those you need, but you don't convince anybody because convincing somebody only gets you in trouble. Sarah, I had a dream. I went outside. I looked at the stars. They were brilliantly, brilliantly bright. And God said, believe, I'm going to give you more kids than that. More kids. Poor barren Sarai. Make me feel good. You're a dreamer, going to conferences. Taking me to Egypt, getting me this, oh. No, it's real. It's really real. He came to me. He told me, come outside my tent. I went outside the tent. He said, look at the stars. I saw the stars. He said, that's the number of your kids. And I said, yeah. And then I was swept over by the presence of God. I know it's true. I'm so excited. What do you think? Aren't you excited for me? Oh, sure, Abram. Let me figure this out. You have fruitfulness, and I am barren. And I'm supposed to be happy for you. Okay, how are we going to do this, Abram? You say anything about me? No, he just talked about me. Seriously, go read the script. Not a word about Sarah. You know, it's just a promise to me. Okay, well, evidently God just, guess I'm not the one to carry your seat. Tell you what, that lady I got when you took me to Egypt, Hagar, why don't you go have seed with her? Go have a baby with her. Abram's going, whoa, this faith stuff. Whoa, this is an encounter with God I wasn't expecting. Let me see. Sure. I'm sorry. But I believe it probably happened about like that. And the reason I know is because by the time she's pregnant, and now Hagar's all walking in that cocky, fleshy, hey, baby, what's wrong with you? Is your womb working? Got any rhythm there, baby? I'm fruitful and I'm blessed. Yeah, you got married first, but who's got the baby? Sarah is just fuming. She goes, the sin be on you. That's why, guys, don't ever let your wife say, I give you permission to do what you want to do. That does not mean anything. As soon as Hagar gets pregnant, you're going to hear about it. I don't care how you were. So Abram, in his classic male form, says, hey, she's yours. Do whatever you want to do with her. I love the leadership of Abram. She's in your power. So Hagar says, well, she's in my power. She's not going to want to be around me any longer. I am, like, major upset. Driving Hagar out. Hagar, you know, is told by the angel, go back, blah, blah, blah. 15 years so later, now God's having another visit with Abram, and now he's having another name change, and he's having another calling in, and this time Abram is kind of like, sure, if you say so. I'm not telling Sarah. I'll change her name if she's okay with that. We're good with that, but that's about as far as we're going. And the circumcision, that is really a personal thing, so I don't think she'll mind. So God comes to Sarah, you know, and makes a conversation to be overheard. Sarah's in her, well, I'm not sure, ha, 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 I bet that, big chance that happens. God calls her on that. She lies. God says, yeah, you will. Then there's the Sodom and Gomorrah issue, the smoke shifts Abram. He loses his place, but he also moves in his place. A lot of your movement in earth is out of distress that's meant by God to lead you to a new place, but it's done not ceremoniously beautiful. He's off in Gaza Strip. He's among King Abimelech, and he's now going back into a kind of concert line, and And he's just not dealing with it. You see, that's the essence of heaven is that it becomes so consuming in your world that you live the world you're in without regard to what the world you're in can do or not do to you. And you do not try to cause God to do anything by the world you're living in. You start just becoming confident. Well, you said it, you'll do it, you'll perform it, and I'll glorify you while I'm in it. Ha, ha, ha. That's funny. That's great. Wow. Sorry, Sarah. Yeah, I don't know how to cover you right now. I've never been good with crowds. I can't cover you. God will take care of it. God will take care of him, her, you. And he just is a hands-off because he's hands-on with heaven. He's leaving all, following, leaving all, following, leaving all, following, leaving all, following. Now, Paul says, that was a whole lot of stories. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, verse 12, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying that in all of his loss, he's learned to practice this thing. Every day I get up, I forget the day before, and I intentionally press toward the day ahead of me. Every day I let go. To forget is to put it out of your mind, to not be able to have a place in your mind. And that is so that I can press toward the goal of the upward call of God. You don't go up when you're being held down. And you can go up. You must go up. If you don't go up, all you can produce is what's on the earth. All you can become is what you have at your hands, but you've got to have a vision of something beyond what your hands can do. You've got to be able to see spotted, speckled sheep that you have no power to complete, but yet you can be a part of the completion. It's this glorious thing called just continued yielding to God while you continue traveling with him, while you let go of everything that followed you from the day before into the day today. You say, nope, doesn't mean anything. Yeah, but you just sinned royally yesterday. Nope, doesn't mean anything. Oh, what those people did to you, that's got to be dealt with. Nope, doesn't need to be dealt with. I'm going for the prize. I'm going up. I have an apprehension. God apprehended me. Yeah, but what's happened to you now, unless that is resolved, you'll never go forward. Nope, I'm going forward. I'm going forward. I'm forgetting. What happened to you? Don't you realize? Nope, I don't. Don't need to. Don't need to. Don't need to. Because if you need to, you're going to be on your road to Emmaus with a mindset, I had hope in a man who was going to save the land, and this thing torpedoed. And now they're talking about resurrection, and I have no grit in my soul. My soul is racked because I went all into this, and my soul went all into it, and my soul just got thrashed. That's what's supposed to happen. You're not going to get through this journey with your soul not on the cross, where all your hopes, all your dreams, all your aspirations, all your beliefs, all your abandonments are going to be just nailed there. And God says, let's go. I can't go. We got to deal with this. I did. When? At the resurrection. Yeah, but show me something. Nope. Follow me. But when you follow him, if you venture, you see, because it's all back to that same thing. Come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I'll make you fishers of men. Or I'll show you how many things you must suffer for my namesake. How would you like to get that calling? Oh boy, let's go to the waters of baptism. But it doesn't matter. The world you're living, and we'll go Philippians 2. He was in the form of God. And he said, this is my identity, this is my place. Now I'm going to empty myself of privilege and rank and ability, and I'm going to go and take now not the form of God, but the form of a servant. And I'm just going to humble myself. And then you're going to find me in the appearance of a man. I'll leave you with this thought. when you're called up into the presence of God and pointed into your place of destiny, when you hear the voice of God call you to places you do not have the ability to get to, and you start a journey to go somewhere, you perceive it this way, but as you come into that identity of who you are, there'll be a place where God says, hey, just why don't you go walk down there? At first, it'll sound glorious and romantic, then it'll be awful. But then one day, and in this room, are some people in the appearance of a man. Nothing more, nothing great. People could pass you by in the hallway, wouldn't even notice you walk down the hallway, yet you carry heaven's ear, and heaven communes with you daily. And inside of you is the authority that just keeps you more quiet and enjoyable because you walk with God. But your appearance is just a man. Because the glory of God is not seen in the flesh of man. And when flesh goes into the glory, then usually the glory goes away from the flesh. And we can keep the thing going alive, but it doesn't carry the same substance. So when Paul said, you know what, I'm looking for one thing. I'm going to attain resurrection. Not the resurrection of the dead. That everybody's going to have happen to them, even the sinner. I'm going to attain into what I was called upward into. I have perceived with him who I am and who I've been called to be, and I'm going to attain it. And I got to forget everything the day before to go into the new day. And I got to let it go because his voice keeps beckoning me. Come on, Paul, run. And beloved, that's what Jesus is saying to you. Everyone in this room, I don't care who you are, how old you are just, your future is more brilliant than your past is awful. No matter what has happened to you, there's nothing needs to be resolved. Nobody needs to come and say, please forgive you. Please forgive me. Nobody, it's just all dung. Dung, 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 dung. Because the future is Jesus, and Jesus is calling you up, and you're being called into him, and there's an embrace, and there's a place, and there's a celebration, and there's joy unspeakable. There's peace beyond imagination. There's the things people take drugs to get to available in heaven. Imitations of all manner of expression on the earth are in Christ. Your value, your worth. And you go, God, I got to just fix this crumbling thing. No, just run away from it and run into heaven and then come back and serve. Who cares? It's not my identity. I want to be a blessing to you. I don't know. I don't want anybody to say anything. I don't need anything. Just, there's a need. I want to help. There's somebody who needs to be helped. I want to encourage you. You are terrific. You're wonderful. You just where we're going is so radical. Don't come next week because I may really get into this message. This is again just an introduction. Don't, telling you where this is going is so radical. But Heavenly Father, be with us. Be with every one of us. I know you called everyone in this room. We're not here on accident. I know many have journeyed for years, decades, have followed the voice of God. If any one of us, and maybe all of us, have found ourselves shipwrecked in faith, stalled in the journey, carrying fears, burdens, emotions, issues that have kept us locked up, looped up, circling, going around a mountain of unfulfillment, living in the house of building bricks. Holy Spirit, come. Speak. Voice of God. Voice of God. Voice of God, be heard, beckoning, come, come, follow me, up, up, upward, upward, upward. Let the wind of the Spirit move amongst us. Let the disengagement take place, Lord. To look at what we're mending, what net we're trying to fix, just to be, God, forget it. Let's go. Let's go. Holy Spirit, you are gracious. You said by the Spirit of God, that you are dismantling the lies that are keeping us captive to this present situation we're in. Do so now in Jesus' name. Truth, come forth. The word of truth. 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 Spirit of truth. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth. Don't shut off your computer. There's about 20 configurations that need to take place before it shuts down. Shabode Bababa. It's a new installment. Come on. Shibondete. Seriously, beloved. Seriously, there's so much in life for you. Let it go. Can you make a choice and do it again? Leave everything, forgive everything, follow Him. Leave everything, forsake everything, forgive everything, follow Him. Yesterday's problem, forgive it. Yesterday's struggle, forgive it. Yesterday's failure, forgive it. Yesterday's sin, forgive it. Forsake it. Leave it. Follow Him. Do it. Choose to do so if you hear His voice. If it's not something you can do, then go home and have it out with Him until that point of release comes. However it comes, that's yours and God's to do. But the goal is still the same. Let it go and follow Him. Come, Holy Father. Shibondere, there is grace. There's still more. Please don't shut off your computer. There's 12 to 8 more configurations taking place. Shabode ba 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 ba, dabode ba ba ba. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We recognize it was your voice that captured our imagination and we journeyed with you. Do it again, Dad. Do it again, Lord Jesus. Let's worship for just a moment. effectual door before you. And you can walk right through Jesus. And the Lord would grant you and bless you, calibrate you, reconfigure you from a heavenly perspective like Romans 8, where justification settles all charges and glorification all condemnation, where no rooms of separation exist in your spirit, soul, body, your heart of the love of the living God. It's just immensely overwhelming. This is a door for you. Do not leave or forget the door. Walk through the door. It's a beautiful door. It's Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And in there are the riches of eternity and the wealth and your inheritance and your salvation and the fullness of God's dream over you. It's all there. And the door is wide open and it's available and it's beckoning us to come in. As he knocks on our door, now he's opened his door. And I bless you with that experience of God over this next week, especially to encounter him in a great and glorious fashion in Jesus' name. And everybody on the internet, everyone joining us later today, it's for you. Receive this, embrace it, welcome, employ, enjoy. It's for you in Jesus' name. All right, God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Thank you so much.